Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I am your host. All right, we're going to dive right on into this. TheDetailSolutionsPodcast.com, that's the website you can go. There you'll find all the links to where you can find anything about the podcast, Facebook pages, Instagram pages, the links to any of the episodes, also the links to Apple, Spotify, and Anchor, to where you can also listen to the episodes. We also have the vendor page, or the preferred vendor page there. That is our page for our wonderful ad partners. It's going to tell you all about their business. It's going to have a link that you can click. It's going to take you right to their website. And we also have their coupon codes there. So when you click that link and it takes you right to their website, you can go ahead and purchase anything that you want. You use your code at the end. And what that does is it saves you a little bit of money. So when you're saving that money, you're spending money with them. And then they're going to spend money with me and Jason for this. And we're going to have some good times. We're going to make you laugh. We'll give you that funny. So hashtag money, money, funny. That's the thing, right? Like, it's a circle of life. We also have the merch store there. That's where you can find anything for the podcast. The Concaster shirt, the headphone logos, t-shirts, hoodies, long sleeve t-shirt. And then we also have the really cool embroidered hat that I've been rocking. I love that hat. So all that can be found on the detailsolutionspodcast.com. We also stream these live every Wednesday and Friday night for the What's on Your Mind episodes and the Q&As like this one on YouTube. The YouTube channel is the Detail Solutions Podcast. Please go like, share, subscribe, follow, hit that notification bell. So when we do these, if you like watching them, that you can go ahead and check them out. And then we are a week away from MTE. So we only got a couple more times of mentioning this. If you are still on the fence, if you're thinking about it, and I've talked to a couple of people this week, because you're probably like, Alex, why do you keep talking about MTE? Like, people have already figured it out by then. No, they haven't, because I've talked to a couple of people in the past week that are still like, hey, man, what's the website? Can I still buy tickets? Can I still book a room? And basically, I'm telling them, you just got to go to mobiletechexpo.com. Click the link for the hotel, click the link to buy the tickets. You can use the code DSP15. That will save you 15% off of your ticket prices. And then while you're there, please go on over to mobiletechexpo.com/golden-mic or golden-mic, and please leave us a nice little like review, a little comment. The golden mic is not picked off of who gets the most votes. It's picked off of the best kind of story, or where it kind of, the podcast that is nominated or wins is picked off of the best story, how it helped the person who wrote the story, how it influenced them, changed their life, whatever. So please make sure that you, don't just say, hey, Alex and Jason are cool guys. You know, do something a little bit nice. Make it a little bit better. And then please go like, share, follow, and subscribe anywhere that you are listening to us, Apple, Spotify, or if you listen to on Anchor or some of those other ones. Please leave us a 5-star review. You guys ask your clients all the time to give you a review. So in Google, it helps you in the algorithm to be, you know, obviously picked better. Same thing for us. We're in the leisure and lifestyle section, subsection is automotive. So when people are listening to anything automotive, it doesn't just have to be detailing. If we have enough reviews and we have enough 5 stars, it'll just, you know, kind of put us in the, hey, you listen to this, you might like these guys kind of thing. So please go do that for us. Really appreciate that. Tonight, I've got somebody. We've been kind of back and forth. We tried to do this before. Some stuff came up, and then we just had to reschedule. It's a pretty cool guy from what I've seen on Facebook. He does some pretty charitable stuff, and just seems like an all-around good guy. So I've got Carlos Serrano on tonight. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing really good.
That's awesome. So I got to ask for, you know, all the guys out there that, you know, maybe want to know. So you're from Dallas. So are you a Cowboys fan?
Honestly, this year I became truly a Cowboy fan. I was always the one that I'm the one that I would just maybe just get everybody mad and stuff. So I would always go for the team that's winning. But I finally made a decision this year or last year, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to stick to supporting the Cowboys, you know, and I'm going to be like a fan. So they're surprising us. They are actually
Us. Maybe it was you. Maybe they just needed you to hop on the wagon and give them that push,
right?
You know, that positivity you got going on.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, good luck to you guys this weekend. I don't think you're gonna make it past the 49ers.
It's gonna be a tough game for sure.
They're tough for sure. All right. Nobody wants to listen to us talk about football. So they're here to hear your story, man. So what's the where, the when, the why, the how did you get into detailing?
So I started this journey when I was in eighth grade. So I've been doing this for a long time. I worked pretty much my only job, I would say, that I really like stayed for 17 years. Was a car wash, and that's really where I started my career. So I started vacuuming just like everybody, and then slowly, you know, went up the ladder. And then finally, when I graduated from high school, I had an opportunity by the owners, and they're like, hey, we'd love to, you know, bring you on board as an assistant manager. I had a good mentor that really took me under his wing all those years. And by the time he kind of like moved on, you know, I was ready. Like I stepped up to the plate. But I've been in this for so long. It's crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, we kind of follow the same path then, because I came from the car wash. I've been doing this like 25 years now or something like that.
Nice.
Now. And kind of the same thing like you, man. You know what I mean? Like I started out vacuuming. And, you know, and then worked my way up and got into the detail department. And then from there, you know, detail manager, car wash assistant manager, car wash manager, and all that fun stuff. So yeah, man, we got that same path, man. I like talking to car wash guys, cause then I don't feel so bad. Cause I always feel like I'm always an outsider, like, you know, the detailers always kind of look down on the car wash guys and stuff like that. But the more that I do this, the more I find out there's a lot of guys who came from the car wash, and it's
yeah. Cool. And that's always great. It's always good to meet like other car washers that started in that platform or in that area, because I feel like we have maybe that extra advantage because we started there. So we know a lot of things that, you know, we can kind of elaborate to customers. They understand it better, you know.
Exactly. And you have a little bit more working inside of the car wash, so you know that all the spooky scary stories aren't totally true. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, there's definitely some damage that can be done at the car wash, but it's really not as bad as I think a lot of the detailers, you know, want to make it out to be or make it out to me. And
I learned a couple expensive mistakes while being in there. Some costly mistakes. I'm glad I didn't get fired, but I should have gotten fired.
Right. But you know what the cool thing is, and this is my takeaway from it. So I'm hoping it's the same from you. Like you said, you know, where it puts us in a little bit different position than detailers who just start out, especially when you're in a management position and you have those damages and you know how to, okay, I've got to go talk to the client. We've got to fill out a form and, you know, we've got to get this taken care of, or it's do a little investigation and you realize that, you know, the shit was already broken before it came in, you know.
you could see where it
was glued before, you know, like they glued it down and then it broke.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always looked at it when that would happen, is I always looked at it like that movie Tommy Boy. I don't know if you ever saw that one with Chris Farley and David Spade. And
yes.
Chris Farley like knocks the door off of the car and he like puts it back on, and David Spade goes, he's like, what'd you do? I always felt like that's how the clients were, right? Like they just like, okay, I got it fixed. I'm going to go run it through the car wash. And then they're like, what'd you do? You know?
That's actually feel like a really good movie, though.
I feel like that gives us a better handling to, you know, when that happens. You know, if you do have a damage, or if you cause a damage, or you know, burn somebody's paint or break something on a car, it's not like, oh shit, what do I do? It's like, all right, cool, I've been through this before.
I think the first one is always the scariest one.
Yeah,
but then it's like you start getting more damages, and it just gets easier. Like, communicating it to the customer, how to like de-escalate the situation, how to bring them down from that like mad stage to like, okay, I'm calm, you know, accidents happen. So you're able to really just kind of just navigate the whole situation smoother.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like, you know, you know, I mean, I'm guessing you do too, but like when I left the car wash, I had all the same contact, so like I could reach out to the paint guy, you know, hey, you know, like I got a little nick, I need fixed up. I could reach out to the wheel guy, I could reach out to the dent guy, you know, and all that stuff, and it was no big deal. And like you said, you can de-escalate that customer, that situation a lot faster because you already have that experience.
Yeah,
that's awesome, man. Let's go ahead and take our first break, and we'll come back and find out how you left the car wash. We'll be right back.
Awesome.
You need a website, but you don't know where to start? Detailers Roadmap can help. Their websites are designed for detailers and have all the features you need to convert visitors into lifelong customers. It's easy to use, affordable, and they'll even write and design the website from start to finish. So accelerate your auto detailing business's growth and increase online visibility with Detailers Roadmap's bespoke digital marketing services. You'll rank high on search engines and increase PPF, ceramic coating, and tinting sales. Contact Detailers Roadmap today to schedule your free discovery call. And make sure you tell them you heard about it here on the Detail Solutions podcast to receive your discount. All right. So what made you leave the car wash and start your own business?
So I think for me, it was when, you know, you reach a point in the business where that's as high as you're going to go. Yeah. Right. And whenever I, you know, I asked for a raise, and at that point working for 17 years at this company, the raise I got was like $10.50, I think. And that's for 17 years of hard work. You know, I was expecting a little bit more.
Right.
But, you know, when I talk to the owners, you know, I think that's one thing that made the change really quickly on me is when they, you know, when they're like, hey, you know, this is as far as you're going to go, you know, from here, there's no other way up, you know. So I had to make a, you know, a change, and I'll never forget, you know, it was 3 o'clock in the morning when I called the owners and I was like, hey, I quit. You know, I did an impulse decision, and I quit my job. No money saved.
At like three I wasn't in the morning? Prepared.
At 3 a.m. because they kind of got me mad. They got me mad. So I was like, all right, it's going to be payback.
Right, right.
So I woke them up, I'm sure. And I quit my job, literally. It was just an impulse. You know, I just wasn't ready for really being on my own. But I was just like, you know, I quit. If I don't take the dive, you know, now, then I'm probably just going to be sitting here another 10 plus years.
Yeah. Yeah. So did you have a plan? Like, you're like, okay, I'm gonna
plan.
You just quit and was like, all right, shit, now what do I do?
Pretty much. I quit, and whenever I was home, you know, and I was literally like, oh wow, like I legit just quit my job. and I started to think, like, what am I gonna do now? Like, I was thinking, like, let me go and look for another car wash, because I know, like, I knew that I could go to any car wash and I would be hired pretty quickly because of the experience. Right. And I was like, you know what? No, I'm gonna start my own business, you know. And I, at that point, you know, I started the business thinking that, you know, this was gonna be easy.
Yeah.
No money saved, and I just started with all I had was a wet vacuum and a bucket, and that's how I started really my detailing business.
Right.
You know, 7 years ago, pretty much.
So how did, like, with a bucket and a shop vac, how did you get your first client, or how did you market yourself, you know, to make that?
I started with, obviously, I didn't have a business card, so I had a lot of, sticky notes.
Yeah, like sticky pads.
These were my first business cards, right? Uh-huh. You know, I would write on here, you know, Serrano's Mobile Detail. I would handwrite everything, you know, my owner, my phone number. And then in the back of the paper, I would always put, I'm just looking for an opportunity to show you what I can do. And then I would give them out. Of course, many people probably threw them out. And, yeah, you know, the few of those that actually did give me an opportunity, you know, I'll forever be grateful for that, you know. So after I quit my job, just started writing a bunch of papers and just cutting them up by hand, passing them around. I mean, I would see people just toss them out. And the first place I went and asked for an opportunity was a car lot. And that's okay. What kind of kept me busy throughout the next, like, 2 years was working at this car lot.
Right, just kind of like cleaning the cars up for them, for them.
Yeah, I would go every Monday and Tuesday. So I would go twice, once a week, and they would give me like 5 to 6 cars to detail. Obviously, in that time frame, they were only paying the previous guy like $35 per vehicle.
Okay.
Obviously, me losing my job or quitting my job, I was like, shoot, I need the money. So right, I was like, right, I'll do it for 50. And I was like, but, you know, you'll definitely like the quality, right? I'm able to see comments here.
Yeah. Thanks, Jason. This is not Jason. That type of episode.
So I quit, you know, and I was making $50 per unit, and I had to do the interior, the headliners, the engine bay, and wax the exterior of the cars.
Okay.
But truly, that was my, like, the foundation. It's taught me a lot, like, how to get – I was already pretty quick at doing interiors, but going this route, it was like, you know, it was quicker and quicker, and I started getting a better process. Obviously, I needed equipment, but I didn't have that, so I did everything literally with a bucket and a wet vac extracting and a pressure washer or a water hose that they had, you know. Right. So I was really grateful that they gave me an opportunity with nothing. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And slowly I started really to just save up a little bit more, and then I started buying more equipment as I went.
Right. Now kind of like to backpedal a little bit. When you were at the car wash, were you detailing there to have detail experience, or were you just kind of like, you know, kind of doing like the car wash, quote unquote,
style? I was doing anything. I started as a vacuumer. Back in 2000 is when car washes were banging. We would do like 1,000 cars per day. So I started vacuuming, and then they started seeing that I love to talk, and they put me as a sales advisor.
Okay.
And I started just, you know, selling packages, and then from then they wanted me to learn the detailing side, and that's, I think, when I started just falling in love with it more, because it's like I can transform this dirty car, right, and make it look really good. And I pretty much did everything at the car wash. So by the time I left there, like I could, you know, whatever issues the tunnel had, I knew how to fix it. My mentor, took me under his wing, and, you know, he was like, you know, we're never going to depend on the equipment team to get here. You know, we need to learn how to fix this quick. Right. So I learned how to fix the tunnels, how to fix the chains, you know, anything. But I started literally in the front lines just vacuuming, but the detailing side, you know, is where I really just kind of fell in love with it and learned that craft. Yeah. And I was like, this is what I want to do forever.
Okay. So you did have some, that's because that's what I was curious when you said that you kind of like worked your way up into management when you left. I wanted to know if you had like that car wash detail experience.
Yeah.
So how long did you work the dealership for, or was that something that like you still kind of do, or?
No, I learned really quickly the value that that I was bringing to the table. Yeah. So I worked with them for about 2 years. And then I finally was like, all right, you know, I'm done. And it just started getting to a point where it was like the owners of that car lot were like, they started to get picky. They're like, oh, you didn't get the scratch, you know? And then after 2 years, I was like, you know what? I was like, I'm sorry. I have to fire you as a customer. Like, it's not worth it.
I love that story because, like I said earlier, I mean, dude, we're walking the same path. I mean, I know Jason said that's kind of how he started too, but it's so cool because when I left the car wash and told this story a bunch of times on the podcast, so I won't go too long, but one of the clients that you know, when I left and I told them that I was leaving, came with me was a little used car dealership. And I kind of was doing the same thing like you said, you know, like I got to a point after about a year and a half, I think I was working with them or had them as a client. That kind of the same thing, you know, it was like, it just they started wanting more, but they didn't want to pay more, you know, I mean, obviously. And it was like, oh, you know, you didn't clean the very bottom of the engine and the engine bay. And it's like, okay, well, that wasn't our deal. Our deal was like,
yes,
wipe down the top and spray some dressing on it. You know, not
they get real picky.
Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. And the same thing, dude, like I just got fed up with it one day. And the guy was like, one of the owners was kind of threatened me. He was like, oh, if you can't do it, we'll find somebody else. So when I took my lunch that day, I walked across the street to the little warehouse place where I'm at now, and they had a spot open, and I was like, I'll take it. And I walked back across the street and called his bluff, and I said, I'm out, dude. I said, you know, you keep threatening me, and I'm not going to stick around for it. And dude, his face just like was like, oh shit, what did I do? You know?
So, yeah. You know? And it's crazy, you know, and I'm the type of person, I hate losing customers, but it's like you have to choose between, you know, your yeah, mental health. Like, is it worth it? Right. And thankfully, this working at the car lot improved my business drastically because I had so many before and afters.
Yep.
That really, here in Dallas, that's really what made my name. That's what made my brand. When people had like the worst cars, they knew who to call, you know. Right. Obviously now my pricing from back then to now is drastically hugely different, you know. But for me, you know, I was doing like their disaster details for like $80, and I was happy because I was like, you know, I need the money.
Right. You were learning as you went along. And mm-hmm. I mean, that was the beauty of it that I thought with that was, you know, I mean, they were shitbox cars anyways, you know, super high mileage, like, you know, they were only selling them for like $3,000 or $4,000. So I could, you know, just practice on them. I could hone my skill on them. I could get better on them. And like you said, when I made that jump, it was the same thing. Like I had a better portfolio and a better skill set. Well, let's jump into another commercial break real quick, and we'll come back in and talk a little bit more. We'll be right back.
If you own a detailing business, you need Car Supplies Warehouse. We offer tested and proven solutions to keep your business running strong. We offer wholesale memberships, in-person training, and the best chemicals, products, and tools all in one place. Go to carsupplieswarehouse.com and use code SOLUTIONS for 15% off. Code is valid for one-time use only. Some restrictions may apply. Go shop now on carsupplieswarehouse.com.
That is cool.
So when you left the dealership and you know, kind of decided to go, you know, fully as your own, you know, did you think about doing a shop, or did you, you know, was mobile kind of your way of going?
Mobile has always been my dream. I don't have a shop. I've been strictly mobile for 7 years. I've been blessed with great friends that have shops, and they're like, hey, if you ever need a spot, you know, feel free to, right, you know, just let me know and you can use it. But I've been strictly mobile since I started. I think now I think my business is finally taking a turn for the best, maybe, that a shop is more in the back, you know, in the back end, like,
yeah,
maybe it's time, you know, but I just love being mobile. I don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I mean, you're in Texas. Like, Texas is kind of like Florida with its weather, man. Like, I give it to you. I give it to you because, I mean, there's some days here, even in the shop with all the fans going, that I'm just tapping out. Like, I can't even think about, like, what it would be like mobile, you know? Like,
it's hot. It's brutal out here.
I know.
I think that's when I'm thinking, like, dang it, I should have a shop now.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you kind of do – because I know, like, some mobile guys, because of the fact that they're mobile, they'll you know, do washes and waxes and, like, interiors and maybe, like, light polishing, you know, and they really try and stay away from the bigger corrections and coating jobs because usually those take multiple days and everything. I mean, so do you kind of go that route, or are you just like, whatever, I'll go back to the client's house?
Yeah, no, I always, if, you know, I'm I'm available, you know, regardless of the weather. If I have to do a correction, you know, I'll take a big canopy. I connect an AC unit. I put a fan in front of it. And then I close all the walls around it, and that's going to keep some breeze going, you know. Okay. So I always find ways to, you know, to make it happen. Right. But, of course, there are times where it's like, you know what, it's just impossible with the weather. That I'm just, you know, I'll tell them, like, hey, if you want to bring it to me, you know, that would help me, and I can do it here in my house. But, no, I usually try to do everything there.
Okay. No, that's cool. That's cool. And what type of services primarily, you know, are your bread and butter?
My bread and butter is interior detailing, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah. You enjoy doing interior details?
I love them. Like, I just, I love them. Like, anybody who knows me knows
that. Okay. All right. So we gotta talk about
even this. Even my shirt. See, it's on their scrub extractor. Nice.
Because I hate doing interior details, and I, you know, I talk to some people every now and then, and they just love it. I mean, what do you love about it? Like, I try to get the other side of it, because I'm trying to see
maybe if I can start. You know, there's always going to be a battle, especially now that more detailers are on board. Everybody's going towards the exterior side because ceramic coatings, everybody wants to offer ceramic coatings. I'm old school. I'm always going to love interiors because, in my opinion, interiors are really the staple in the detailing community. In my opinion, you know, I feel like customers appreciate more the interior side because it's where they're inside every day. They see that, they touch it, you know, and some customers, you know, I've kind of done like a little survey, and the kind of customers I service or see, the exterior isn't important, right? But it's a 50-50 battle. But for me, I will gladly take an interior all day long.
Nice.
And I mean, I guess now I make good money on that side because I'm able to capitalize on the quality that I bring, that, you know, we take that we take that interior from $300 to, I have customers paying, you know, $600, $700, $800 for an interior where it's like, it's worth it, right? But it just falls down to, you know, I want to deliver the best results to the customer. So, you know, I make sure to let them know really what can happen, what might not come out and stuff like that. And I think that's what has helped my business here in Dallas, is that I'm very transparent. And that falls down to going back to the car wash days, that, you know, or you've seen, you know, enough cars that you know what can come out, what won't come out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I use everything that I learned in the car wash. I use it daily in my own business, and the customers understand it.
Right, and you're right, because I do that too. You know, I always tell people, like, look, I'm going to give you real world expectations. I'm going to tell you exactly what can and can't come out. What's a maybe, you know, maybes. Hopefully they'll come out, but, you know, it might not. And then what definitely will come out. So that, and I always tell the client that way, when you are booking that appointment with me, you have that expectation. So you're not going to come back and be like, oh man, I thought that was going to be better. I thought you were going to get that out and then be disappointed with it. Right. And again, you know, when I do that, I still always try to, you know, undersell them and overperform with it.
Yes.
But that's, you know, man, that's a, so my buddy Mike, he loves interior. And it's funny because like, he's like 65, he's like six something, like,
you know, oh wow.
You know, he's a big boy and he gets in these little cars and I'm like, how, Mike? Like, you know, and like he did one last week. He charged last week or week before or whatever. Like he charged $1,000 for it because it was just that disgusting. And I was like, mm-hmm. How in the fuck did you get $1,000? Like tell people $350 to like $500 and people just like, no, not doing it, which is fine with me because I really don't like anyway.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take the next phone call for a ceramic coating job and make like $2,000.
Yes.
But like, do you when you're shooting people that high on an interior, I mean, like, is there any like pushback to it, and how do you maybe explain it? Because now I want to know. Like, I think it just falls down
to the delivery point. Like me, I get like, I think the customers can sense my excitement, or they can feel, you know, that I'm very passionate about that area.
Right.
And of course I always start with, you know, when it's bad, I tell them the price you're about to get, it's a bit high, you know, don't want you to feel like, you know, I'm robbing you, but there's a lot of work that's going to be done to the vehicle. And I think I just explain it pretty well to where I think it just kind of, by the time they come to me, they probably already talked to like three or four detailers. So they're just shopping. Right. And my price is always going to be the highest price. But I feel that, you know, it's my job to really deliver them the price and everything that's going to go into it, to where I've had customers say like, oh, wow, like you're higher, you know, you're a bit out of our reach, but you're actually kind of telling us and showing us, you know, what can happen or what to expect. As to everybody's not doing that. They just, it's a smaller price, but we feel like the, you know, the connection isn't there. So a lot of the people, you know, they come to me because they really feel like I can deliver them the results that they're wanting.
Gotcha. Let's take a quick commercial break. I want to come back and ask you another question about the interiors you do. We'll be right back.
If you have not yet tried Oberg's new APS soap, now is your chance to receive 15% off by using coupon code DSP, all capital letters. Oberg's new all-purpose soap is perfect for all your exterior washing needs. This unique formula combines plant-based cleaning power that is effective and versatile. Whether you are mobile washing or maintaining a ceramic-coated vehicle, APS soap works quickly and rinses easily. This super concentrated formula can also be used on really tough bugs and is very effective in dirty door jams. To find out more, please visit ObergCarCare.com.
All right. So what I want to ask you is, when you get a client and obviously they're price shopping or whatever, and you're hitting them at that, you know, $700, $800 mark or whatever, you know, and they're like, oh man, you know, well, we talked to this guy and, you know, he said he'd do it for $200. Like, can you do any better or something like that? Like, how do you, cause like, I know how to do it on the correction side. Like, I know how to explain to the client why my price is this and why it's that. And usually on the correction side or the outside, people kind of understand that, but on interiors, they don't understand it as much. So like, what do you say to them to kind of, you know, not necessarily put that 150 or 200 guy down, but to say, this is kind of the standard though.
Yeah, I think the times I have gotten that, you know, I think you reach a level of just transparency, and you kind of, you know, your work so much that it's like, you're very blunt, right? So right. I never try to put any of the detailers down, you know, I just say, you know, I understand there's definitely cheaper guys out there. And you're free, you know, to do as you please. I was like, you know, and I tell them, but my quality will stand. You know, there's a reason why you're reaching out to me, or there's a reason why they referred you to me, is because I have enough proof to back up, you know, everything that I say I will do, it will get done, right? And I think they usually can sense that it's like you're not hiding anything, and they kind of see like, okay, we're not talking to a rookie here, like we're talking to somebody that's experienced in this field. That kind of takes really the advantage of everybody else.
Right. And when you're doing interiors, I mean, do you like wash it with, or is that okay? So you do include a wash with yours?
Yeah. All my packages include, just a basic exterior wash. Whether they want it or they don't, it's already included in the price.
Oh, okay. No, dude, that's awesome, man. I mean, I think I'm going to start raising my prices and see what
but I tell everybody, happens, you know, I tell to a lot of people, like, you know, the prices I charge now, it's like, it has taken me so many years, you know, to learn the craft, to learn the chemicals, to buy better chemicals. And that's how I've been able to, you know, grow with my customers that I started with 7 years ago when they started at $80, you know, or 60. Now they're starting at 300, and they're okay with that because they've grown with me. And I've been able to just raise them by just $20, you know, all these years, you know, so it's not like a huge increment. It's very small increments that to the mind, they're like, oh, it's just $20, you know, but so it's like, you think about back then, it's like you were started at $80 with me. Now you're at $300. And then I've had some customers like, oh, you know, yeah, like it's crazy how, you know, you've grown, but they're here. They're like, a lot of people tell me like, we're here for your success and we want to see you grow. That's how we don't switch.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome, man. You know, have you with those people that were with you at the $80 and, you know, now you're charging obviously way more. Did you have any drop off? Like once you started getting to kind of like a professional level pricing? Cause I had, you know, a lot of clients that were there for me in the beginning, like, oh, you know, we want to help you out. And, you know, this was when I was doing like, you know, $35, $40 hand washes, like we were doing at the car wash. And, you know, the minute I start bumping it to like $50 or $75, then, you know, they're like the blackjack guy. They're like, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, wait, I thought you were here for me. Like, oh, I was here for you when you were $30, but $50, $75, it's too much, you know? And same thing when I originally started doing coatings, and I was that, you know, $400, $600 guy, you know, and now I've got, you know, clients that'll call me up and they're like, hey, you know, like, I know you're probably charging a lot more now. And I'm like, yeah, I definitely am. I mean, you know, like, what can you do me for? And I'm like, look, I start at $2,000 now. Oh man, like, you can't do that $600 job you did for me before. And I'm like, no, why are you even asking me, you know? Well, let me think about it, you know? And it's like, yeah. So, you know, I was, and it sucks because those are usually the guys that you start, or the customers you start out with, you build a really good relationship with, and then you realize that they really didn't give a shit about you.
Yeah. I had some of those, you know, but as I grew in the business, you know, not every customer is going to be your customer. You have to separate yourself from them. You know, I'm grateful for, you know, all the opportunities they gave me throughout the years, you know, but there's a level when your business is taking a different course, you know, sometimes that customer unfortunately has to, you know, break off from supporting you because obviously that you're not worth it to them that much. Right. So I understood that, you know, and I'm grateful for those who, you know, are still stuck with me. Because once they see your quality, they're like, honestly, at this point, we really don't want to switch to somebody else because you've set the bar so high that it's like getting somebody else. Like, I have customers till today. They're like, bro, I called this detailer and look, they'll send me pictures. And I'm like, yep, you know, it tends to happen. And they're like, man, I never had that problem with you. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, it's a little bit costly now to, you know, to get what you're wanting.
Right.
I lost a couple, but, you know, I'm always grateful for them. I still have them on Facebook and, you know, they still share my stuff, even though that, you know, some don't use my services anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a tough loss at times, but it's like, you have to be ready for what's coming, you know, something better.
Now, how long when you're doing like an $800 detail, how long are you typically spending
about
on the car?
About a day.
About a day.
Yeah, six to eight hours, you know, at max.
Yeah.
I got my process pretty down. So I usually say about 6 to 8 hours. Sometimes it'll be more just because really of the condition. I have to take seats out and stuff like that.
Right, right. So that's an interesting fact. So you're pulling seats out and
if I like have that. To.
Yeah.
But it comes at an added cost though.
Okay, so you charge extra for it. Now to ask you, because I don't know if you listened to a couple weeks back, we did an insurance episode where we had Warren on, our insurance guy, and you know, we were kind of talking about, you know, taking seats out, doing wheels off, things like that. And, you know, obviously as an insurance guy, he, you know, highly suggested against it, but, you know, also kind of advised everybody, you know, let your insurance people know, make sure that you're having the client sign a waiver or something like that. Mm-hmm. So with that upcharge that you kind of do, do you have some kind of form, you know, the cover your ass form?
Yeah, I gotta stay covered on that. Yeah. So usually once seats come off, the price goes automatically $1,500 for that.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm gonna have the car at least maximum 2 days for the process. It does cost you $1,500, but you are signing a liability waiver, you know, that I will not be responsible. I will do my due diligence in bolting these seats down to the specifics, but if anything happens, I'm not responsible. Right. You know, and they're usually like, some they'll be like, oh, never mind, I don't want to do that. I'm like, that's perfect, because I can do everything without removing seats.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can move the seats forward and backward, as you know, and you can pretty much.
But some are just like, I want them off. So I'm just like, okay, you know, you want them off? Is this price? Here's a sign, you know, waiver you're gonna be signing. And it's more reality check when they see that paper.
Right.
They're like, oh, snap. Like, you're not responsible. No. So then they're like, never mind. So having that paper, it makes them rethink everything. Like, huh, should I? You know, but right, they sign it and I'm okay. It's saved.
Yeah. Now, where did you get that liability form? Did you hire a lawyer to do
that? I made it.
You made it? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I made it. I wrote it all on a notebook paper, and then I transferred it over, obviously, on the laptop and typed it up. And then, obviously, my lawyer has that form as well.
Right. And never had any issues? Never anybody come back and complain about it? That's awesome.
No. Thank God. That's awesome. I pray that never happened. I know, right? I think I wouldn't survive. Like, I wouldn't know what to do if something like that actually did
happen. Yeah, that's the one the car wash doesn't teach you about.
Yeah, I would be so nervous.
Yeah. Let's jump into another commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Still sitting on a bucket or poorly built shop stool? Aren't you tired of the discomfort and back pain caused by your lousy shop stool? The days of tiny casters and thin seats are over. Meet the Viper Chair, America's number one shop chair, made right here in the USA. The Viper Chair glides over any surface and loose debris with 4-inch industrial-grade casters. Relieve your lower back pain with the perfectly angled backrest. Prevent tipping and improve posture with a wide, sturdy base. Viper Chairs are designed for every industry: automotive, detailing, welding, or any other project in your garage, no matter what you love to do. With an artillery of accessories, Viper is here to help you with whatever the job requires. Stop wasting your money buying cheap China-made shop stools and get yourself a Viper chair, handcrafted right here in America. Visit ViperIndustrial.com now for our $50 site-wide sale. But hurry, this sale ends soon. Shop ViperIndustrial.com. That's ViperIndustrial.com.
And make sure you use the code DSP25 at checkout. You'll save an additional $25 on your purchase. All right, Carlos. So something that was brought to my attention by our mutual buddy Dean up in Canada. You recently did a charity wash for a guy to help him out?
Yeah, Tony.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that, because I thought that was pretty cool when, you know, Dean had told me about it, and I think I had caught your live that day and saw a little bit. You guys had like a whole line of trucks and mobile rigs and everything like that. How did that come up and how did it go down? And, you know,
yeah. So, So this all started by a Facebook post. And I was tagged in that post, you know, I guess somebody else had made a post and, you know, like somebody that knew that I detailed or whatever, they tagged me on that post and I'll never forget it. You know, I read the post and I pretty much just like, okay, whatever, you know, I read it and, you know, just continue about my day.
Right.
But as the day went by, like there was just like a burning sensation, you know, I'm a very spiritual person and I believe that, you know, there was a reason why I was tagged in that. So I ended up just kind of reading it again. And I said, you know what? I'm going to host an event where people can, you know, come and support. Yeah. I didn't think anything of it. All I said was, you know, on this date, I'm going to be there washing cars. You know, if you want to swing by and let me wash your cars, you know, for a donation, you know, I'd greatly appreciate it. But little did I know that this became like shared like so many times.
Wow.
I really didn't know what I was doing. Like, I think I was supposed to ask permission for the city that we were going to be there. You know, we're going to be using their parking or something. I didn't do none of that. I literally just put an address and I was like, I'm going to be here. And I had a bunch of detailers reach out to me and they're like, you know, I had people from East Texas coming, you know, I had some people, I think like from Houston, surrounding areas, you know, that they came out and support and, you know, at zero cost, we literally washed well over maybe 200 cars in a matter of, I think it was 4 hours total we were there. I think 4 or 5 hours. And we washed so many cars. And at the end of the day, you know, it just got better and better that somebody donated this guy, donated him a car to this homeless man. Donated him a car so he could have ways to move around, you know. And we collected over $2,500, I think, for him in those 4 hours. Which was truly a blessing. Like people were giving my wife like $100 bill, you know, and I was just so overwhelmed by the help, you know, that people were coming, you know, all over, you know, to driving far, far away to wash the car, you know, and supporting this man, you know, that he was homeless. And it, you know, that's how that came about. And I'm all about helping others. I feel that's my calling in this world, is to help, you know, any detailer that's in need, because he always washes cars in this parking space. And, you know, he was just, he had a sign and the name of his business. And, you know, we decided to help him. And truly, it's been a blessing being part of that, you know, and everybody that helped me in that day, you know, I'm truly humbled and blessed by, you know, their time, most importantly.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's awesome. I mean, it's because, you know, you don't hear of a lot of guys taking the time out to do something like that. And like I said, I remember seeing your live, like when you went on and you were showing like the whole line of like mobile rigs and you're like, we're out here, you know, for like a little bit longer, blah, 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 blah. And then I think it was like a couple of days later or the week after whatever, I was talking with Dean and Dean suggested me having you on and I said, yeah, I said, I just saw him. He was like doing some charity thing. And he's like, oh yeah, you know, like he's such a great guy. And like, he'd be great to have on. And so, I mean, it kind of led to, you know, I mean, I think we've been Facebook friends for a while and I've known of you for a while, but you know, it was kind of like that moment, you know, kind of set the wheels in motion for me to try and get you on and just, you know, hear your story and obviously give you a chance to talk and everything. So that's pretty cool, man. Let's knock out another quick commercial break real quick and we'll come talk some more stuff. We'll be right back. 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. Join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer and go to manscaped.com and use the code DSP for 20% off and free shipping worldwide. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. You like that one, didn't you?
You got some good ones in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The YouTube things is always great now because people can actually like watch the guests' reactions to the Manscaped commercials.
I was wondering that. I was like, I wonder if people can see.
Oh yeah,
can see what?
Oh, yeah, they see us. They see us. So you know, like, what's going forward for you? I mean, like, what's future goals? What's, you know, the future look like for Carlos and for, you know, your detail business and everything?
That's a good question. I tend to live my life one day at a time. I never look ahead.
Yeah.
Obviously, that falls down to an accident I had many years back where, you know, I should have been dead, you know. And since then, I see life differently.
Right.
So future goals. I pray that at one point in my life, I open a shop. I think that would be an amazing add-on to my resume. I would love to host more classes. Right now, I'm hosting them in my garage and my house. But a shop would be, I think, my next goal. Obviously, grow my YouTube channel a little bit better. But I think just the future goal would just be make sure that I stay grounded in life and humble. No matter, you know, if I grow or anything like that, is just remain rock solid in my foundations. And always remember that I'm here for the detailers and it's not just for me. But sure, I think for my future, I would love a shop. And I think eventually I hope I can make it.
So when you look at your vision board and you see your shop, like how far away? I mean, is it something you're working towards within the next year or two, or is it just one of those, like,
honestly, it's just one of those things. You know, my motto is walk by faith, not by sight. So whenever, you know, the time is right and I feel that God's saying, you know, it's time for your shop, then we'll make that next move.
Right.
I hope that in the next 10 years, I can make that happen. I'm a very slow progression person. Like I take my time on everything, which sucks. You know, I have some friends that, you know, God bless them. They're killing it. They grow quickly. For me, I'm always like, I'm very skeptical. I'm scared to make that next move, you know? So I always take baby steps in everything I've done in my life. So hopefully within the next 10 years, I hope I have this shop. It has to be orange.
Oh, orange. Okay. So what's the meaning behind the orange?
I love orange.
Okay.
Everything cool in my life is orange.
That's cool. I have a real good client. Well, not so much anymore because he's not working anymore, but he loves orange too. All his cars were orange. Which was crazy because, you know, and not even like an orange, but I mean, like he, when I first met him, he had an R8 that was all done up by APR and full on blown out rate for a race car. Cause he goes to Sebring, he goes to Daytona. And it was like this real cool, like, I don't know what color Audi calls it. I think like Samoa orange or something like that. So it was it had like a little bit of a flake to it. It was kind of more like a goldy orange but it looked good on that car. And then he had, then after he got rid of that, he got an ACR Viper E and that was like the Striker orange. So it was a little bit brighter. He had one of the RS3s when they first came out in 2016, and again it was like that Samoa orange color that from Audi. And then he had a like a tomato reddish orange color e-tron, and then you know his wife's SQ7 is Audi calls it dragon orange, which is a little more goldish color. And it's like every car he's had has been orange. And I'm just like, I mean, like orange is kind of a cool color, but I don't like these colors on these cars. I mean, they always looked good the way he and everything, but it was just like a weird, you know, it's not a color you see, you know,
you see every day. Yeah.
Right. Because it's not like a typical like bright orange or like that Skittles orange or whatever, like the Dodges do or the Mustangs do or something like that. I mean, they were always like these odd kind of oranges and everything. Well, let's do, you mentioned YouTube. So let's talk about your YouTube channel a little bit. I'll give you a chance to, I mean, obviously we're streaming on YouTube. So, give a chance to tell everybody, you know, your YouTube page and what you do over there and how that's going.
Yeah, so my YouTube channel is called Serrano's Mobile. And the channel is really, I think it's still, I'm still trying to decide what the channel is or what the true path of the channel is.
Right.
But I show a lot of kind of DIY stuff, you know. It's, I think my channel is based more for the beginner detailers who are starting looking for ways to do better interior detailing. I think that's what I focus a lot on my channel is interiors, tips and tricks, you know, slowly growing.
Dude, you got 10,600 subscribers, man. Hell yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's slowly growing.
Send some of your subscribers over our way. We only have like 120.
I'm sure they will subscribe after they see this.
Yeah, hopefully. No, man, I'm kind of scrolling it right now. It looks like you got some pretty cool things. That's awesome. What made you want to start a YouTube channel?
Honestly, I never wanted to start a YouTube channel. But I had a friend who would always push me. My wife was always like, you know, you love to talk, you know, you should start your YouTube channel. And finally, I think after just so many pushes and pushes, I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to start a channel. But I never really expected this kind of feedback just because I think in my life or in my past, I felt like always just like knocked down that I was like, no, you know, and YouTube can be brutal at times. You know, it can be very brutal.
Dude, social media period can be brutal.
Yes.
Start a podcast and find out.
So after that, you know, the first video went out and people were actually interacting and slowly, you know, I started growing and seeing just the subscriber count go up, and it's been great, you know, but I think I never wanted to start a channel, but you know, with the push of my wife and other people, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do it and see where it goes. And it's been a blessing, you know. I've been able to reach a lot of people and help other detailers with my tips and tricks. And I think that's the best payout of this is that, you know, you reach so many people and you're able to at least help them in that small need maybe they have or they were lost or maybe how to do this or that. Right. That it pays off.
Yeah, no, exactly. How often are you filming and putting videos up?
Very maybe like every other day, maybe, or every 2 days.
Oh wow. I tell people
really YouTube is not like my bread and butter. Even I think a lot of people confuse that you may have that many subscribers and they think like, oh, you're making a killing on YouTube. I tell people like my channel is not great and I think it could be better and monetization would be better probably. But I tell people like, I don't do YouTube for, you know, that's not important to me. Really, what's more important is my business first. And whenever I find something to talk about, you know, that's when I'll do a video on YouTube.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So it's not like you wake up in the morning and kind of have like a mindset of like, hey, I'm going to film a video today. It's just like if the lightning strikes kind of thing.
Yeah. It's in the moment. So I always carry my tripod. I don't have a fancy camera. I do all my recording on my phone. My editing, I do it on my phone. And I just have a good microphone that I use. And that's pretty much it. But it has to be in the moment. Like, it has to really tell me, like, okay, go and do this video. Like, this is something important to talk about.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Let's take our last commercial break, and then we'll come back and close out with Carlos. We'll be right back.
What's happening, Detail Solutions Podcast? Ian here from Auto Fiber. I've got a special discount for our Towel of the Month Club. TOTM25 will get you 25% off of the Towel of the Month Club. And in the Towel of the Month Club, pretty much you sign up, pay for a year, and every month we're going to send you a different sample of a different type of towel or applicator. So it's a good way to get different samples and try different types of our products. So use TOTM25 at checkout for 25% off.
All right. So I want to end on one last question for you. And it's the question that I close out everybody with is, when did you realize your worth?
Like 3 years after I started my business.
What was realized. The moment? Do you remember the moment? Like what sparked it?
Just, I think, charging too cheap. Uh-huh. And knowing that, like, I could have charged a little bit more and work less. And that was always my goal, was I want to work less and make more. So sure. I went from doing like 3 or 4 cars per day to now I do 1 car per day. And I make what I made literally in 3 cars back then.
Right.
But I won't forget, I was already doing, I think it was a Toyota Camry tore up. And that day was when I was like, I need to charge more. Like, I'm done struggling, or I'm done suffering with these cars, you know, making a little bit of money. And that was my turning point, where I was just like, I know your worth.
Wow. That's awesome. That was weird. All right, Carlos. Well, hopefully we didn't get booted off of YouTube. I'm getting a weird thing. But whatever, as long as it's recorded on Restream, it's all I care about. listen, man, I appreciate you taking the time to jump in and sit down with me and have this conversation, man. You're a really solid dude. I mean, like I said, from following you on Facebook, you know, for the past however long, you know, we've been Facebook friends or whatever, and seeing the things that you do and now, you know, talking to you. You know, I look forward to continue watching your growth and seeing what you do. I mean, you're definitely one of the good guys out there. So I appreciate you coming on, man.
No, I really appreciate the opportunity, obviously, to meet you in, I guess, you know, face to face right now. Yeah. Hopefully one day in the near future.
Hey, yeah, maybe the end of February when I come to Dallas. Maybe,
yes.
Maybe while I'm stuck downtown somewhere, maybe you can come roll by.
And, yeah, I'll pick you up and we'll go have some nice barbecue or something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, buddy. Well, listen, you enjoy the rest of your night. Have a great weekend. You know, good luck to your Cowboys, but go 49ers. That's
all. I'll be ready to text you if they win.
Yeah, go right ahead, man. It's fine. All right, man.
Well, good talking to you. Thank you again.
Yes, sir. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, buddy. All right, bye. All right, so that's Carlos Serrano. Hopefully, we're still YouTubing. If not, hopefully this is still recording at least. So that's that, man. I hope everybody's enjoyed the podcast this week. The double shot of the Noxy one. Sorry for that mess up. We had a great podcast earlier on with Cole from Sonax, and then now this one with Carlos. So please just, you know, please go like, share, follow, subscribe. Hit the notification button on YouTube, wherever you're listening to or watching. And please make sure you give us that 5-star review and get us out there a bit more. All right, I'm going to go because it's getting past my bedtime. I've been up way too long today. You guys have a great day, night, whatever you're listening to this, and we'll see you next time. Bye.